There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 75. Going to get you ready for the final week of the fantasy baseball season. Talk standings and schedules and potential streamers and so much more. It's going to be a blast. Get you ready for that home stretch. Last week, we got you the two-week schedule. Nice feedback on that, so thank you very much. That was good. Before we get into too much talk, I'm on Twitter at BDEntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're sweating.
Yes.
We are sweating. Not because of the heat. It's I would say I'm doing good, but man, this final 2 week stretch has been rough on me and for my own doing, like following way too much of scores and live standings, just because we're both in the hunt in a few leagues. I feel like you're handling a lot better than I am, but kind of glued to baseball stats and watching games, and things aren't going as well, but there's still 10 days to turn it around. So I'm on tilt, but I'd rather be in it than not. So trying to enjoy the last week and a half here.
That's the key. We're trying to enjoy it because come like, 3 weeks from now, we're going to wish we had a full week of baseball again.
Exactly.
It'll be one of those things. Like the postseason was awesome last year. I assume it'll be this year. So maybe it'll be like a month and a half from now. Then we'll be sitting there like a week after first pitch Arizona going, what are we doing now? Like we're watching NBA. Is that what we're really doing right now? NBA, college basketball. Like that's all we got on Wednesday night.
Selfishly, I have the forecaster to do, but. Well, this week we started.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I saw, well, obviously I'm in the Slack, so I got to see a few things, but Ray Murphy even tweeted it out that it's his first all-nighter, basically trying to narrow down which hitters get a part of player pages, because every year one of the topics at first pitch is who got left out that shouldn't have got left out, basically. Yep. Well, decisions are starting to get made tonight, Thursday, September 21st, on who is in and who deserves to be in and who might get left out situation. So the process starts early for these boys at Baseball HQ. I am not a part of that, thank goodness, but I have enough on my plate these days. So I enjoy reading the hard work that Ryan and these others do. Because forgive me, I should know this as a friend and a co-host. What year is this for you now? 8?
This is, I wrote it in a tweet the other day. What'd I write? 11?
I'm trying to remember.
11 or, I think 11th. This is my 11th year writing.
Longer.
I know, I'm old. And my sixth year on the cover.
You're not old. You're younger than me. I was like 6 year on a cover. That's the one I was looking for. Because the cover means he was one of the editors, which means he really had his fingers in the actual forecaster. Not saying the writers don't. They all do. But you guys know what I mean. He was one of the final countdowns to get you the book is what it comes down to. And that's a lot of work on itself. It's funny because like you'll run into Ryan when he gets to first pitch. He's like, what'd you do, Ryan, on the flight? I wrote in the forecaster. I guess that's his plane ride. And what you'll catch him writing blurbs at the conference. You'll see him getting ready to do it on the way home. It's like that's what he does because that's the time of the year. So
don't think I did it on the way home last year, though. As you know, I think we got like 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, the night before.
After the Sleeper in the Bus podcast.
Thank you, Eno, baby.
Saturday night. That's right. But yeah, it'll take most of my October and first half of November. We'll get it out by Thanksgiving. But that's 2024, man. We got 10 more days to finish this out. And it's funny, we were talking about topics like for this week. It's like, do we want to do next year's stuff or looking back this year? It's like, let's
finish.
Let's see it all the way through. Finish. We have one more week of lineups to set. So for all of you who have stuck it out with us, we genuinely appreciate it. And we figured, why not just do this last one for those of you that are in the hunt, again, and selfishly, like both of us, this is to help us too. Let's knock out this last week's strategy session.
And for you, those of you that play in head-to-head leagues, for instance, that were smart enough to this to be your last week, congratulations. Because you don't have to worry about any of the nonsense that takes place next week. Because we've seen a lot of it this week where it's this pitcher gets scratched and they're going to move to this. Wait, no, now they're pitching tomorrow. We're seeing like so many things. Like Max Fried, for instance, pitched Thursday night. Well, as doing the first pitch podcast, this stuff makes me laugh because it makes me look like an idiot if people aren't paying attention. I reported earlier in the week that, oh, he's got a hot spot on his hand. He's going to get pushed back to the weekend. Well, last time I checked, Thursday's not the weekend. Like when I looked at the DFS schedule for my show on Wednesday night, I saw Max Fried's pitching. I'm like, what? Like, what are we doing right now? And that's just like a one example. There's a ton of them. Kyle Harrison got sent back. Oh, wait, he just got called up to pitch Wednesday or Thursday in LA.
Pitch tonight. Yep.
So it's just one of those things where there's, I was looking at, we'll talk about our weekend matchups. Eduardo Rodriguez left Monday start with a shoulder injury. He's supposed to be out probably for the rest of the season. He's scheduled to pitch on Sunday now. So if you drop them, I apologize. That's the way it goes. That is September at its finest, and there's going to be a lot more of that. So we are going to try to weed through it the best we can, get you a couple insights to take home the ships as we talk about. But let's talk about some recent news and notes. You guys know First Pitch enough. We've talked about that till we're blue in the face. If you have questions, hit us up on Twitter. I'm not going to bug you guys about that anymore. We love it. Some recent news and notes here. We're going to start off with Royce Lewis, and everyone under the sun should know that Royce Lewis has a hamstring injury, left earlier this week. The news that pertains to this, though, on Wednesday, he was riding the bike, which gives me some optimism. Thursday morning, he's supposed to have an MRI in Minnesota, and there's been no news out. And I told Ryan what I've learned from First Pitch. When teams have days off, you don't get news till they're back to the ballpark. So they already know the news. The Twins will let us know the news on Friday, and we go from there. I'm guessing he still misses a game or two this weekend, and we see him probably maybe Sunday, but Monday for sure is my guess, because they need Royce for the postseason, and they're not worried about our fantasy team. But I don't think he's done for the season. The fact he's riding a bike the day afterwards gives me a little optimism that it might be sore, it might be a little tweaked, but it's one of those, like, he's going to work through it situations.
And this will be one of the things that we'll talk about kind of throughout the episode is I've got one eye on kind of the schedule, another eye on the standings. Should probably have a third eye like on my kids, but I only have two. In Lewis's case, so Minnesota is 8.5 games up. Like, they've locked up the AL Central. So yes, it's a good sign that Royce Lewis is riding a bike, and we'll see what the news comes out on Friday once they're back from the off day. If he's healthy, and I have Royce Lewis in labor, who is causing this sweat. I had a 10-point lead. I'm down to a 3-point lead, and Royce Lewis was kind of single-handedly lifting my team. Do I start him next week, even if he's back? Like, I can't see the Twins. Like, he's not going to play every day. Why would the Twins play him every single day? I think even if Royce Lewis is healthy, does he get like three off days next week and just kind of stay somewhat fresh for the postseason? That's what I would do if I were the Twins. And again, assuming Lewis is healthy, I think that's almost like a best case scenario, is you get, I don't know, 4 or 5 games left total out of Royce Lewis, if that. And again, that's if he's healthy. So it's tricky, man. And again, this is all the final week sweat and the difficulty of trying to forecast this stuff, but I wouldn't count on Royce Lewis for as an everyday player from here on out.
Yeah, I'm with you there, and that's what makes it tough, because it's one of those, if you sit him, you know, even in the half the games he plays, he might get you 2 home runs and 6 RBIs.
That's the a grand slam, like his fifth one. I think he had 4 and 18 games something like that. So,
and that's the tricky part. Like, they want to get him just enough action to get him ready for the postseason without hurting him more, is what it comes down to, basically what Ryan was saying. So, yeah, just wait for the information is the best I can say. See if he's in a lineup before you have to lock in lineups. But I wouldn't count on him for this weekend, I'll say that much. you are gonna get some action next week. Just the amount is to be determined.
Yeah, I can't see him holding him out all week just to keep him fresh. On the flip side, if you're gonna kind of the hedge here, I think Kyle Farmer is a pretty good pickup next week. Farmer's been playing a little bit of third, a little bit of short. Lewis obviously is like their everyday third baseman, so if Lewis on those off days or whatever, even if he's not healthy, I think Kyle Farmer this last week could be pretty good.
Yeah, and that too early DC mock draft we did last season, I have Kyle Farmer, and I've been playing him like for the last 2.5 months because I've had no choice because he plays just enough every day. And so that's been kind of the blessing and the curse between Lewis and Polanco. And there's always an injury in Minnesota. And I would rather have had Willie Castro, but Farmer's been actually quite serviceable. If Willie Castro's on your wire, that's another one. Like, I keep beating that drum, and he's been tremendous for me. But and we will go over players later in the show to potentially look to pick up. Obviously, league dependence, it's going to vary from site to site, so just be patient with that one. But yeah, look for the backup case, best case scenario, so what it comes down to. Tampa Bay Rays made quite the splash on Thursday evening, a couple hours before we started recording, Ryan. They called up one of their top prospects, Junior Caminario. I might have butchered that. I apologize. He played single A and double A this year. He just turned 20 on July 5th, but between single A and double A, 324 average, 31 homers. He does have only 5 stolen bases, but the power is ridiculous. The batting average skills are great. Plays third base, which they need, especially with Brandon Lau. This could be a Brandon Lau situation because he left Thursday's game early. They haven't put him on the IL yet, of course, but that's a scenario that could take place there. It's a Junior Caminario. And again, Caminaro, I don't know.
Caminaro.
There we go.
Yep.
That's going to be an intriguing one this week, especially because no one has money right now. Like, I was getting guys I got Sawyer Gibson Long everywhere for $1 last week. Like, so that's where we're at right now.
The star of last week's episode, who I thought his name was Gibson Long.
Yeah.
But we'll continue.
But Caminaro is getting the call. And to me, they are only calling him up to play him. There's no reason not to, in my opinion. So what's your it's the Rays, though. I guess I'll grain of salt that. But what's your thoughts on this Caminaro situation? Because even like big-time prospect guys, the Welsh and others, were shocked that he got the call. They were not expecting that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I reading between the lines, I do wonder if Brandon Lau is more hurt than we think. I was watching that game today because, of course, I wanted to watch my closer, Carlos Estevez, blow the save.
You know the rule. You're not allowed to do that.
I'm breaking all the rules. It's 2 weeks. It's not working out for me either. I'm a little skeptical on the playing time. Like, maybe it's more at shortstop and Taylor Walls is out. But, like, even if – I don't know, man. We have no idea what a 20-year-old is going to do over the last 10 days. So, like, yes, this is an injection of youth in terms of, like, fab pickups. Nobody has money. But if you're going to throw a buck on somebody, like, why not do it on Caminaro? You don't know what you're going to get, but you don't know what you're going to get with anybody. And so do wonder, I'd be, if I have Brandon Lau, I would just say that's the takeaway. Watch what happens over the weekend and start preparing some plan Bs if that doesn't pan out. It's just the timing of it between Lau getting hurt and then a few hours later calling up Caminaro just seems interesting, especially since, like you said, Bubba, so many people in the know in the prospect world were pretty shocked by this one.
Yeah, because Brandon Lau, he fouled a ball off his knee. He left on the ninth inning. That was the at-bat. He fouled his ball. So it was the very end of the game. And some of the good, like, you know, Mark Tompkins, one of the best beat writers out there. He's always throwing things out. He doesn't even have an update yet on Brandon Lau. And he's the Rays were celebrating in the clubhouse, or at least some of them were, because they're getting closer to making this happen. But yeah, just going through Tompkins' feed right now, there's still no info on Brandon Lau. So like Ryan said, just keep an eye on that, but that's kind of the writing on the wall at the moment. Next up, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I want to mention this one. He had an MRI. He missed Wednesday's game, had an MRI Thursday morning, obviously missed Thursday's game on his knee, which was weird because it was like all of a sudden, oh, he's just a late scratch on Wednesday. And then like an hour later, scheduled for an MRI on Thursday. And I'm like, whoa, like that's not like a sore knee. That's like, what's going on? Well, they said no structural damage on Thursday. Jays are out of it. I'm like, Vladdy to me is, they're going to try to play him if they can. I'm not saying they're not, but to me, this is kind of a tread lightly situation.
Yeah, I think they'll do what they can if Guerrero can play. I mean, Toronto's in the wild card hunt. I mean, they're right with Seattle and Texas. Like they'll do what they can to try and get Vlad in there. It is the interesting MRI is just never good. And even though it's inflammation, like again, we're not doctors, but I hate the line. What is it? Structurally clean or structurally no sound structural like
damage
no yes. Struck that's what I'm going for, no structural damage. I learned this one from First Pitch. It's just and I mentioned this on the show before, but it's just it's a phrase that sounds very positive that definitely means he's not out of the blue yet. So just very, and I think the fact that the Blue Jays are in the wild card race is a good thing for Guerrero, but just monitor what happens this weekend and be aggressive if Guerrero's obviously out next week. He's obviously a drop. So it's crazy to kind of say that, but that's where we are this final week.
Yeah, he's got at Tampa Bay this weekend, Glasnow, Lytle, Bradley. Then next week he goes home against the Yankees, home against Tampa Bay. They're actually scheduled to face the same Tampa Bay pitchers this weekend and next weekend. That's pretty interesting to me. But yeah, keep an eye on Vladito. Kevin Biggio has been reaping the benefits of that. And I've been laughed out of rooms in the last week or so talking about Gavin Biggio, but he was hitting like fifth. When Vlad got scratched, he got moved up to third. He's been hitting more between third and fifth, let me put it that way. And I just want to highlight the production from Biggio, because this is where DFS helps me a ton. He's been like 26, 27, it was $2,800 today. And he's hitting the middle of the order. And if you want to go back, let's just go back to September 9th, about a little over a week ago. And you can, let's just do September 1st. Let's make it a bigger number so it's not as small of a sample for everybody. Since September 1st, Biggio's hitting .298, only one homer, but 11 runs, 9 RBIs, walking a ton. You could do worse from a guy hitting the middle of the order in deeper leagues, because he's going to get everyday at-bats. Keep that in mind.
Perhaps Spencer Horowitz.
Horowitz is another one.
For batting average.
That's a great call. That's a great call as well. So keep an eye on that whole situation in Toronto. And then last but not least, Wilson Contreras went to the IL with a wrist injury. He's been battling injuries all season, but he's still been pretty productive when out there. A guy's name I always screw up. I call him Andrew Kisner, just because I love Kevin Kisner, the golfer. Yeah,
it's the golfer. I believe it is Kisner.
Yeah, I think it is too, but it's the first thing that flows off the mind. He'll get the everyday at-bats, but there's Ivan Herrera's had some moments as well where he's been sneaky interesting, one of their kind of higher-end prospects. If you were desperate for a catcher, and trust me, there's probably better options on your wire, just going to throw it out there right now, but you're looking at this St. Louis situation, where would you go?
So I'm going to have to make this decision because I'm hijacking this podcast and just venting about my teams and labor. Wilson Contreras is on my labor team, so that's a 15-teamer. Kisner's definitely an option for me. I've got $3 left, and it's a $1 minimum bid, so I can only pick up three guys this weekend. And my options are...
And one's now a catcher.
One has to be a catcher, although maybe not. Like, maybe the play is to take the zero.
Just take the zero if there's better options. That's a real thought. Options
are out there. What I typically do... I'll take the last 14 days, sort by at-bats. Who's actually playing? Here's the crew I've got. Jacob Stallings hitting .188 over the last 2 weeks. Andy Rodriguez, Austin Wells, Rene Pinto, Christian Vasquez. Wow. And outside of that, everyone else is below 25 at-bats over the last 2 weeks. Wow. So maybe I don't pick anyone up zero for catcher. Especially because I need batting average. So we'll see. So again, sometimes this is all category management at this point. You may not have to take a catcher to replace it if you're in a 15-teamer. Like that is an option.
Yep. I this past week in Fab, like my main OC that I'm competing in right now, I had $4 left. And I only spent $2 because I wanted to guarantee $2 just in case I need to make more than one move next week. Yep. Now, that could have been dumb. But I was confident with what I had going to battle this week, and I wanted to leave me options for next week. That was just pure strategy. Like, I could have said screw it and got four guys for a buck, and then just hope no one else got hurt. And then my luck is you'd have like three injuries and you'd be like, oh, well, there we go. Can't replace any of them now. So I wanted to give myself a chance to go in there at the fighting, you know, fighting chance type situation, but we'll see.
The other interesting thing, and I mean, it's a good position to be in, is I'm in first. So I lose any tiebreaker. So if I really want anyone out of my $3, I need to go two. And so like, I may only be able to pick up two guys next week.
Yep. Yep. That's going to be a fun one indeed. But yeah, keep an eye on that. There'll be some other guys we'll mention in the preview section, a bunch of day-to-day guys, and we'll kind of do the best we can to weed through the issues there. But before we get into the final week strategy session, let's talk weekend matchups, Bloomfield, and my time is starting to tick away.
Why is your time starting to tick away?
In weekend matchups, because I'm down two to you with four picks left. Smarty.
I'm brain fog. Your time is ticking away, man. So this could be a pretty good win for me. I'm up two on the season, 22-20. This is match play, one pitcher, one hitter each week. And where are we at? We split again last week. Your Chris Bryant, the movable force against the whatever stoppable object. I think I got those wrong. Mike Yastrzemski got 3 points for me. You took me with Bryant with four. My pitching dominance continued. David Peterson pitched well. Took down Pedro Avila.
I will say this much. Avila wasn't bad the week before. King was awesome. Olsen wasn't bad. So it's not like they've been garbage picks.
Correct. I'll say that much. That's correct. I've been double digits five of the last 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, it helps.
Now, when you play against the best.
Look who's getting cocky now. All right, let's have some fun since you're the best. Let's talk about some things here. We got a week to go. Let's talk about the weekend matches. So before we get to the final week, what stands out to you? Because I know we got Great American Small Park for the final hurrah this weekend. We got no Coors Field this weekend. Only three games for everybody. No random four-game series this weekend. Yeah. So what stands out to you as some options here? Because there are some teams throwing out some like AAA/Quad A pitching staffs these days.
Yes, and yeah, has been for some time. The problem that I see, at least this weekend, is a lot of those AAA pitching staffs are against teams that are probably, you know, don't have many available bats in most leagues. So like the Cubs get, even though it's not in Coors, you still get Colorado. Colorado's throwing Noah Davis, Chris Flexen, Ty Block out there against the Cubs.
I think we have a chance to try out and make the team this week.
Perhaps. It's that bad. It's great if you have Cubs, but nothing really actionable you can do. The Padres get St. Louis. That's another AAA rotation for the last, you know, whatever. I'm glad Wainwright got his 200th. I'm glad that escapade is over with. Cardinals are throwing out Dakota Hudson, Jake Woodford, and Drew Rom. So that's not good. You mentioned the Reds. Not only it's at home, but it's against Pittsburgh. And yeah, Bailey Falter, Luis Ortiz, Andre Jackson, like all these names, like it's rough. The Red Sox get a pretty good schedule. But again, a lot of those Red Sox are rostered against the White Sox. One thing that I like is the Yankees lefties. So we've talked about Esteban Florial. I know he hasn't hit the ground running, but I think he's going to play every day against right-handed pitching. And the Yankees get the D-backs at home, and they miss Zach Gallen. Yep. So they get Brandon Pfaadt, Zach Davies, and Ryan Nelson. So they miss Gallen and Kelly. Yeah, I should not leave Kelly out of
Merrill
that.
Merrill Kelly's like he gets thrown away, and he somehow puts together formidable seasons. Yep. I almost picked Jake Bowers this weekend. He went deep on Thursday. I'm like, went deep on Thursday. That means he's going to go over for the next week. So that just kind of sums that one up. But
Bowers is probably a better pickup than Florial even. Yeah.
Yeah, for the power department. But Florial, I think next year can be a fun discussion topic. Again, that's next season. Let's talk hitters. Who are you going with? Since you're the leader, you get the floor because you took one of my favorite players. You have a tendency, by the way, to really pick players that I am in love with on this game. So, like, you're twisting the knife. Yes, you are.
It's what I do. I not only do I like to beat you, I like to beat you
with my guys.
So I took Big Nelly style, Nelson Velazquez, who is just been on a tear, especially in the power department lately. I should have his stats up in front of me. But the big thing with Velazquez over the last, I don't know, like 2-3 weeks been playing every day. It's been the playing time that hasn't been there. It's kind of that skills versus roles thing. And yes, over the last month, Nelson Velasquez has 8 homers, 20 RBIs, hitting cleanup every single day. Average isn't quite there, hitting .234 over the last month, but it's a good walk rate in our game. We're doing total bases plus walks. So quite honestly, I didn't even look at the matchup with this one. This was just purely a skill play, and I'm going Nelson Velasquez this weekend.
And it's great for our competition because he might not get many hits, but if he does, it's likely to give you 4 points at least every time through. Yeah. Yes. So like that's the plus of a guy like that. You don't need to get 3 hits and hope he gets one of them being a double or something. Like you get the whole gusto there. For me, I took the best hitter I could find on the board, but I am nervous that he sits a game because he's a catcher.
Degree of difficulty play.
Yes. It was not great this week. I'll say that much. But he does DH from time to time, especially on the horrific Padres right now. They are, I guess, quote unquote, streaking. I better not say that. They're streaking right now. But he's hitting in the middle of the order. That is Luis Campusano. This is a guy that I was in love with going into the season. He got hurt. So they went and got Gary Sanchez, who was kind of actually doable, like formidable. He was good. But Sanchez is now gone again. You know, broken wrist, done for the season. Insert Luis Campusano back to his everyday catching role. Since September 1st, hitting .345, 2 doubles, 2 homers, striking out 12% of the time, which I'm a fan of. A lot of multi-hit games in there. I'm just a fan of his overall approach, especially if he hits to hit, you know, 4th, 5th, or 6th in that lineup. Could be a lot of upside there. And we talked about matchups this weekend, and San Diego gets to face Dakota Hudson, Woodford, and Rahm, that wonderful St. Louis team we talked about. So I'll take my chances with Campusano. If he somehow DHs one of those games, I'll be on my knees praying to God, thank you very much. And I'm not a very religious person. But, Campusano, overall hit skills was one of the better options. I'm already aware he might not play every day. So that's the bugaboo here. So
he has started 5 of the last 6, and one of those at DH. So, there's definitely a chance. And actually, an interesting thing, like if you're in – Campusano's probably gone in 2 catcher leagues. But if you're in single catcher leagues – and you need a utility guy. Like I've seen in a lot of my leagues where just because they're catchers, people don't pick them up and put them at utility. It's kind of like taboo. But Luis Campusano is probably better than a lot of utility options that you have out there. Again, probably rostered in 2 catcher leagues, but in ones, like don't be afraid to, if he's available, put him in at utility.
In NFBC OCs, he's only rostered in 24% of leagues right now.
Interesting.
Which is very surprising.
That's a 2 catcher league. So.
Yeah, very surprising. So be on your radar, folks. Now, you know, since Ryan is such a great picker of pitchers, you know, double-digit points week in and week out, who do you have this week, Mr. Bloomfield?
On fire with, you know, Justin Steele.
So you're going to risk fire with this pick, yes.
Yeah. This is – I feel like we say this every week, but it was another
– It was bad. It was real bad.
Land of death trying to pick starting pitchers under 50% rostered in 12-teamers. Takeaway for 2024, which we'll have all offseason to talk about, is just volume your starting pitchers in drafts. Can't say that enough. It's going to be a very much a goal of mine next season. However, this year I'm going Brandon Williamson, mostly because he's a lefty against the Pirates. Again, that did not work for Justin Steele this week, but I'm banking against Lightning not striking twice. And going with Williamson, I know it's at home. 2 strikeouts, last start at the Mets. Like, I'm talking myself out of this. But before that, K's 9-6-6-6-5-4. There's something there. It's not going to be a double digit. I think my double digit streak is coming to an end with this one. But I could not find many guys that are better. And that goes into, like, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but, like, be careful streaming starting pitching this final week, because you could get Brandon Williamson.
Yes,
this time I do.
Could get very ugly for you in that scenario. And I've done the Williamson thing before in this game, so I fully understand.
You pick him already?
Earlier this year, I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
I know I picked, maybe not for our game. I definitely picked him up for streaming in real life, fantasy baseball. So that was fun. My pick is a guy that you have picked before in this game, and he got you almost 11 points earlier this year. And that's Kenny Walichuk of the Oakland Athletics, the Southpaw, going against the Detroit Tigers. And I like the Tigers offense. I'm not going to say I don't, but it's still the Tigers in Oco. Walichuk allowed 6 runs in his last outing against San Diego. prior to that, though, 7 straight starts with 2 earned runs or less, coming off back-to-back 0 run outings before the 6 run shellacking to San Diego. And that was at Houston and against Toronto, so not like schlubs. Strikeouts are an issue. He had a couple 7K games, but for the most part, it's 3 and 4. So you're hoping for low runs, 5 to 6 innings, 3 or 4 Ks. See where it gets me. I think that can compete against Brandon Williamson. I need to compete against Brandon Williamson. So I'm going Kenny Waldichuk again. Broken record here. Wasn't a great week to stream pitchers.
And I just looked the last week. Waldichuk is lined up to face the Minnesota Twins.
Royce Lewis.
Potentially Royce Lewis-less, or maybe Royce Lewis plays against that lefty and they sit Kepler, Wallner, all that sort of thing. But semi-decent stream option the last week if you need strikeouts.
Could be a fun one indeed. All right, let's talk. You mentioned final week of the season. Let's get at it here and have some fun. We'll talk. We'll try to talk everything that comes to mind to get you ready for the final week of the season. And Ryan, let's start with the standings. I just pulled them up. You were talking about them earlier. What teams should we be focusing on, I guess? And the reason why we're saying standings is these teams are in it. They're going to play their best. They need to win. This is common sense stuff. But who are some of the teams we should be focusing on this final week of the season when it comes down to standings-wise?
So I think, like, it's a little tough. Your AL West, unfortunately, your AL West is freaking tight right now. So Houston's in first by a half game over both Seattle and Texas. The problem is, from a waiver pickup standpoint, pretty much all those bats are taken, with the exception of probably some Mariners. And if I look at the Mariners' schedule, they do get, well, they get 7 games next week.
That's big.
And 3 of them are against lefties. So they are, I think the Mariners are one of those, they have some decent platoon options like Dominic Canzone, a lefty going against right-handed pitching, and who am I not thinking of? Power speed. Dylan Moore.
Mike Ford's another dude that goes against righties a lot.
You got Mike Ford against righties. You got Dylan Moore against lefties. So it's a 7-game week for the Mariners. So they're going to get 4 righties and 3 lefties. And who knows, again, starting pitching wise, who's gonna go how long and that sort of thing. But I think they're gonna go
long because it's Houston and Texas. Like, they Seattle controls their own fate.
Yep, they get 3 against Houston, all at home. I should head up there, man.
You got some good
man. My box of Julio's with me.
That place would be rocking. You could go watch Eovaldi versus Wu on Friday. Come on.
Oh, man. You're going to make me root against Eovaldi?
Come on.
Actually, I'll take Wu in that.
That's what I'm saying.
To be honest.
That's a beauty.
That's a crazy last schedule for Seattle. That's going to be.
Yep. They control their own fate. It's pretty well. That's what you want, though. That's what you want. You don't have to rely on other teams. So.
Yeah. Let's see. That's pretty much so. The only one other division race, Baltimore, Tampa. And so Tampa, we kind of talked about Tampa's lineup. If you look, Tampa's one of the few teams with 5.
Yeah, that's
and they don't play each other. Baltimore doesn't play Tampa. And Tampa gets even worse, 3 righties and 2 lefties.
That's rough.
So if you're playing that platoon game like you are with Tampa, that's a little
and that bit might that might cross off the wants for Caminero.
Yeah.
In reality, compared to other guys. Games. That's tough. That's real tough right there.
What other divisions? Every other division is locked up. The Cubs have totally crapped the bed.
Yeah.
They're 8 games back of the Brewers. Atlanta's locked it up for a while. You are going to get actually most of the hangover games. Minnesota will have a hangover game probably this weekend.
They should,
That's another. I mean, you can't really plan for that. But
yeah, I thought Baltimore would have a hangover game. They flew to Houston and won the first 2 games. So.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. So the one thing I would say, and we touched on this with Royce Lewis, is anybody who's like semi-injured or on a team that has nothing to play for, either out of the playoffs or in. I'm also looking at you, Christian Yelich, who also happens to be in my labor team. Like, there's no reason for the Brewers to push Christian Yelich at all. They're not putting him on the IL. They want to keep him somewhat fresh, but there's no way he's playing, I think, even more than part-time. So Brewers have an 8-game lead on the Cubs. So
it feels like if it was serious, he'd be playing, kind of what you're saying. Like, that's the feeling I get with all of this. Another one you can look at on the flip side, the Cardinals are so far, they're 12 out of the wild card, 20 out of the central. They're done. Paul Goldschmidt left Thursday's game. They're going to play him, but to what extent is interesting there? Because it's just there's no rush type scenario is what it, yeah. what it comes down to. So yeah. I wouldn't worry too much about that. Colorado with Charlie Blackmon banged up. He'll get a swan song over the weekend in Colorado. There's no doubt about that because it could be his last hurrah in Coors. But he's another guy that, like Ryan screamed a few weeks ago, he's actually been pretty productive since coming back from the IL. They're not going to really rush him back either. There's no need to. But then again, the Rockies might Rocky, so don't quote me on that one. But some of those teams, like we look at the teams that have clinched, also the teams that are out of it, they kind of work in the same situation here.
Yeah, I feel like the teams that are out of it, it's more like the veterans that they're going to rest. Unless there's some kind of like a like the Padres and like Blake Snell's pitching for a Cy Young.
They might put the best behind them.
He's going all the way. But a lot of those veterans on teams that are out of contention, if there's any kind of injury or whatever, like just shut it down.
All right, let's talk wild card now. And this is where it gets fun because
yeah.
Toronto, Seattle, Texas. You already mentioned Seattle and Texas. Now Toronto's in the mix.
Yep.
That makes it fun. And in the National League, it's really fun. You got Philadelphia. It looks like they're kind of running away with the first wild card. You got Arizona. You got the Cubs. You got Miami. You got Cincinnati. Giants are technically in it. I don't think they are, but that's just the bias in me. So you have potentially five National League teams that are going to be battling it out this last week, and you have three AL teams that will be battling it out. So eight teams are really going for it, which in reality, if you do quick math, it's almost a third of baseball is still going hard at just the wild card, let alone a couple division races. So it could be fun.
Could be fun. And obviously the hitters on those teams, like those are the types of guys to target. Miami, I think, is, for example, one team that's in the mix who I think is going to push it. And you saw Sandy Alcantara might be coming back.
Dude, it's insane.
Last week, which would be pretty freaking cool to
Jackson
see.
Jackson Chirio took him deep today, though. That was fun. And a rehab start.
Oh, I did not notice that. That's funny.
Yeah. Just a stud prospect for the Brewers that might get called up any day now too. Just keep that one in mind. But yeah, Jackson Chirio, Sandy.
You know who else is coming back? Allegedly? Who? Oh God. It's a name to like pick up. Oh, Tristan McKenzie.
Yes. Real quick. Tristan I misspoke. Jackson Chirio. Jackson Chirio got a hit off of Sandy. Did not take him deep. Sandy threw four scoreless innings with four Ks on a 41% whiff rate.
Too shabby.
But yeah, Tristan McKenzie, that's what I've been kind of like circling back on the first pitch pod because they've been rehabbing him because Bieber's back on Friday. He comes back to the rotation for Cleveland, which whatever. Yeah, the McKenzie thing is interesting because they said they want to get him up to like 85 or 90 pitches in rehab before he comes back. And I'm trying to find his last rehab numbers. He's getting real close. You're right. Sticks might make a start next week.
He's on my labor IL. An interesting thing with this too, we've talked about like hitters so far, but like look at your pitchers and which days they are scheduled. And I know I'm talking about my team like way too much, but it's just an example of like the thought process. So for example, I've got Aaron Nola who is scheduled to pitch next Tuesday at home against Pittsburgh. I mean, sounds like a slam dunk. And after that, he would be scheduled to go that last day of the season at the Mets, October 1st. Is Aaron Nola making that start that last day? You gotta look at that with where they're at in the standings. Like the Phillies are three games up on Arizona for the top wild card spot, which does matter because you play the worst division winner, which would be, I guess, the Brewers. So that's pretty juicy. But just look at, for each of your starters, look at that last weekend and just see, like, I don't know whether you think they're even going to make that start or how far they're going to go, because a two-start week on paper is very much so not to be for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, that's you're 100% to the two stars. And like you said, if they even do make a second start just for a couple innings type thing, so you're pretty much hosed on that one. So you won't get a ton of two starters next week.
You won't. Like Kevin Gossman's another example, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, but
Cy Young potentially.
Jays, like, so it's kind of, the Jays could be pitching to get in the postseason, Or they could be playing to line up Gossman to pitch the first game of the wild card. So it's just like, it's so freaking hard to do it. Obviously, you're starting Gossman no matter what. I mean, he's pitching against the Yankees on Tuesday. But it's just those kinds of like, I mean, take the players and the names out, but just that thought process that I'm kind of going through. Do that exercise with your own starters when you're looking at schedules on Sunday night, Monday morning.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because I'm going to circle back to Tristan McKenzie real quick. He threw close to four innings in his rehab start on Tuesday. He'll need at least one more rehab start to maybe get a shot at the end of next week. So we'll kind of see where that goes. He's definitely up into the air one, but could be fun. Could be interesting to see where that takes place. Let's look at the overall schedules for the final week here. And we can just do a quick draw here because what we can do is we can combine pitcher schedule for two starts, yay or nay, and do you like the schedule? How's that sound? Let's just run through that real quick, just to really give people an emphasis on two starters. So Arizona, they got six games, three at Chicago White Sox. We always love that. Three at home versus Houston. Zach Gallen is scheduled to two-step against Chicago and Houston. But also, as we've mentioned, Arizona's in the race, so Gallen might be needed. Do you like the D-back schedule, and do you like the potential two-step?
I love the at White Sox. We'll see about Houston, but even if Houston at full speed, JP France, Hunter Brown's been terrible lately.
Yes.
And who knows, Verlander that Sunday, who knows what that looks like.
Yeah, I think Arizona is a great spot if you can stream some dudes, and Gallon's two steps awesome. Atlanta's Atlanta will pass through there.
You do have Bryce Elder as a two-step. No, do not do it. No, just do not. I mean, unless your ratios are like the safest thing ever.
No. The answer is no. The answer is no. No. Don't even know. There's no what ifs. No. Don't do it. Because what will happen, it'll be Sunday, and the Washington Nationals have nothing to play for, and C.J. Abrams and company are going to go to town on Bryce Elder. Like, that's what's going to happen. So I hope I'm wrong, but yes, that's what's happened.
Be wiser, not Elder.
There, I appreciate that a lot. Baltimore already clinched. They got two versus Washington, four versus Boston. Kyle Bradish scheduled for two. That could be one where Bradish gets pushed to postseason readiness.
Depends. They've clinched playoffs, but they're still very much in an AL East. So.
That's right, versus the Rays. They don't want to be the wild card. That's true.
They are one and a half game. Or no, they're 1.5 games ahead of the Rays. Yeah. So.
If they have
make a fair point about Bradish. Like if Bradish or Grayson Rodriguez who pitched today, but that would line up fine. Bradish, who's just been awesome. That last start probably doesn't happen unless they have to do it.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind if you're expecting to from Bradish. Only way Bradish is starting Sunday is somehow they're tied with the Rays for the AL East. Mm-hmm. Could put that out there.
Yep.
Boston, two at homers, Tampa, four at Baltimore, a Baltimore team that might be setting things up for the postseason. Tanner Houck scheduled for two steps, Tampa Bay at Baltimore. Do you like the Red Sox? And if so, do you like Tanner Houck's two-step?
I like Houck's two-step, and I like the Red Sox. Five out of the six are against righties, so the problem is Alex Verdugo and Yoshida are there too, kind of lefties. Will Abreu was too, but he's hurt, so yep. I don't know.
Zidane Rafael is still very much available, people. Stop ignoring him.
Yes. Not
just stop. Chicago White Sox, three at Atlanta, three at Milwaukee. Justin Steele at Atlanta, at Milwaukee.
Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Steele, I would say does Steele. He'll make that Sunday start because he's in the contention for the Cy Young. I think the Cubs will do what they can to do it. However, it's at Atlanta, that first start, and Justin Steele has given up six earned runs in each of his last two starts. I'm still throwing Steele, I'm pretty sure, in labor, but with hesitation. On the hitter side, we kind of mentioned all your Cubs are kind of taking that last Woodruff, Peralta, Hauser at the end of the week. Who knows what that looks like? Like Milwaukee's going to line up their rotation to do Ace, Peralta, Woodruff, and then Burns.
Yeah, that could be a couple innings just to have your bullpen session on live baseball scenario is what that could do. And the Cubs might be fighting for their wild card spot still, so that could make it really interesting that weekend. Cincinnati Reds, five games, two at Cleveland, three at St. Louis. St. Louis is a juicy one, two lefties, but only five games. Hunter Green's expected to be at Cleveland at St. Louis. I think we can agree if that's the case, that's awesome. But I don't even know if that's a for sure thing, though. With, you know, they're using the day off as his spot in the rotation, I guess.
Reds are platooning a lot on the hitter side. Reds are platooning a lot, and it's not only is it five games, but it's split lefty righty. So that's a tough start for Reds bats. That's a really tough start.
Well, right now Tristan McKenzie is scheduled on Tuesday, but it's not in bold black, so I don't know if that's true. But I have searched all of Twitter.
We don't know yet.
And nothing says he's pitching Tuesday yet, so that's up in the air. But it's two at home versus Cincinnati, three at Detroit. It's just tough because, you know, it's two lefties at Detroit. There's not a whole lot out there for Cleveland unless I'm totally missing something.
No, not really. But, the five-gamers tough. The matchups, if it's Hunter Green, that's probably pretty tough, too.
Colorado in Coors Field, four against the Dodgers, three against Minnesota. This is where your jam begins.
Especially Colorado lefties. What Colorado lefties do we have? It's seven righties. Seven righties. So
Nolan Jones, if you've been stashing him forever.
What a freaking, that shout out to you, Curlin, and the War Dog.
Yep.
On Nolan Jones, you guys are driving that train.
It's been fun.
Ryan McMahon is platooning.
Yep.
Charlie Blackmon, who we talked about, I think will play. Any other lefts? Probably
look for Ezekiel Tovar. He's not platooning, but he's in a lot of waiver wires. He'd be a guy to look at.
Yeah, that's one schedule. That's probably the best schedule next week, especially if you need batting average. Seven games of that is pretty sweet.
And see what they're doing this weekend, because even with guys coming back, Eliezer Montero's been playing pretty much every day. He'd be a good one to pick up over the next week.
And I don't think schedule-wise, like those last three against the Twins, it's Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, Kenta Maeda. Like, Twins ain't throwing Maeda on the last day. Like, why would they? Why in the world would
that's
they
probably
do that
a Bailey Ober start or something? That's what that turns into.
Or bullpen game or whatever. So,
yeah, that'd be glorious. The Chicago White Sox, three at home versus Arizona, three at home versus San Diego. Jose Urania scheduled a two-step. Does that interest you at all?
Oh, I don't know. Nor does the White Sox schedule. You get Gallen, Merrill, Kelly, the front end. I mean, you did get the layup, your boy, Pedro Avila. But then Michael Wacha and then Blake Snell on Sunday. And again, Blake Snell is making that start. Separate podcast, but he will make that start and then win the Cy Young.
Yep. Cy Young is his as long as his arm doesn't fall off and something weird happens. It might still be his. Detroit Tigers, six games. Kansas City for three at home versus Kansas City, then at home versus Cleveland. They do have to face Reese Olson, Skubal, and Gibson Long. Not an easy task. Actually, that's their pitchers, by the way. They have a six-man rotation right now if Erod pitches. That's an if Erod pitches. But they face a lot of nice hitters or pitchers if you're looking at some Detroit bats.
Yes, Marsh, Grinke, Reagans. Well, Reagans is good. Giolito, Bieber, who knows how long Bieber goes. And Quantrill. Detroit bats looking good, and five out of those six are righties. Reagans is the only lefty in that bunch.
Yep. Go see if Parker Meadows or Akil Badu or something like that's available. Houston Astros, you got three at St. Louis, three at Arizona. Verlander scheduled a two-step. We've pretty much already said that's not going to happen, assuming the Astros have it locked up, which they should have some sort of postseason. They might not. They might not. I'll be totally honest. They're still
maybe they won't.
I'm saying they still have to take care of business, so it's not a done deal. But I'm assuming they do of some sort, so we don't see Verlander two-step, and most of their bats are taken. So,
yeah, it's all righties. So, like, yeah, Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker.
Yep.
But Michael Brantley, maybe.
He's already hurt again. Like, he's day to day. He's day to day again. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Probably. Nothing actionable. That lineup.
Yainer Diaz, if you got him. Smoke him if you got him.
That's one of your best calls this season.
Yep. Kansas City Royals, you got three at Detroit, three at home versus New York Yankees. Alec Marsh scheduled for two. This is brutal. Nelson Velasquez?
Yeah. Go Nelly. I wonder what so that Sunday is Michael King. Good God, what a beast. Difference maker Michael King has been. I would think Michael King on that Sunday, I know we're talking about the Royals, but I think Michael King, like, he makes that start. They're going to stretch him out for next year. So it's a pretty rough one for the Royals.
Yep.
Especially because, not because of Skubal or or King or Reese Olson, but Gibson Long.
Yeah, that's murderer's row. Like, what if Carlos Rodon figures out a pitch for a day? Like Clark Schmidt, that's not an easy finishing task there for the Royals, let alone being a bad baseball team. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 3 at home versus Texas.
Speaking of.
3 at home versus Oakland. Yeah, from one bad team to another. I'm not really interested in anything here, unless you are.
No.
Yeah, Angels are bad. It's bad, bad baseball. All right, Dodgers. They have 4 at Colorado, 3 at the Giants. Pepio was supposed to get 2 starts this past week. It got moved around, so now he supposedly has 2 starts at Colorado at SF. I'm pitching Pepio regardless of 2 starts. He's in my rotation. I'm assuming you'd agree with that. Yeah. Bats, though, you going after David Peralta? You like Jason Hayward? What are you looking at here?
Yes and yes. And I think those guys are going to play just because, why would – they're veterans. Like, keep them going, and you get, 6 out of the 7 are righties for the Dodgers. So I think Dodger lefties are fantastic pickups. So Hayward and Peralta.
Yep. Work for me. Go get them. Miami Marlins, 3 at the Mets, 3 at Pittsburgh. Lucchesi, Singa, Peterson, Jackson, Falter, Keller. Not too shabby if you can find some Miami bats out there.
Yeah, problem is they do like to play. I always like the Jesus Sanchez. It's
lefty-righty, lefty.
Cheat code, but it's lefty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty-righty. So that's tough with Miami. But they're in it. They're playing their best guys this final week.
Milwaukee, they got 3 at home versus St. Louis, 3 at home versus the Cubs. Hauser scheduled for a 2-step. I don't mind Hauser. That's one of the first 2-steps where I'm like, not the end of the world, all things considered, especially if you look at how he's actually pitched of late, not been horrible, and they're pretty good matchups.
Some blow up. The Cubs is a tough matchup on Sunday. Again, a broken record. Are they starting everyone? Probably, but
Cubs probably are. Milwaukee probably not, but I think they are starting Hauser. I'll say that much.
Yes. Yeah, they are. I would. Yeah. Hauser, the chance of Hauser making that 2-step is quite high because they don't need to set him up.
He'll be a long reliever in the postseason. That's what he'll be.
Probably.
So, yeah. Minnesota, 3 at home versus Oakland, 3 at Colorado. We talked about this last week. They started 3 in Cincinnati this week. They finish with 3 in Colorado next week. Get your Twins bats and just roll with them. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about Kyle Farmer before, and that was before even looking at the schedule versus Oakland at Coors. Like, yep, get those Twins.
Get all of them if you can. New York Mets, 3 versus Miami, 3 versus Philadelphia. On paper, some tough pitching matchups if they come to fruition.
Yeah, that's the if. So Philadelphia, where are they at? They are, I was just talking about them. They are in position with the top wild card. So they will do what they can to seal that, which means Mr. Nola on Sunday, for better or worse, might go. I don't know. Are there that many Philly bats?
Mets bats.
Available? I feel like it's such a starter scrub lineup. Like, you don't really want the regulars anyway.
One thing I'll say is I'm assuming Philadelphia has the top wild card spot clinched by Sunday. I'm just assuming they will. Jose Buto has been actually really, really good since coming up. And if the Phillies aren't throwing out their top offense, that's a good stream. Just going to throw it out there. It's a lot of what ifs, but that could be a good Sunday last day stream situation right there.
And there will most likely be a hangover game sometime next week with the Phillies. So if you're in daily, I mean, that's impossible for on weekly leagues to project, but it might be Buto on Sunday. I mean, who knows? But those hangover games, like, that's a gold mine for streaming. If you're in a daily league, look at that day after.
And Quintana's been good too. No strikeouts, but he's a quality start machine right now. It doesn't matter who he faces. So couple things to look at there. New York Yankees, 3 at Toronto, 3 at Kansas City. Michael King set up the 2-step. Please put him in your rotation.
Yeah, he'll make both. Yankees are done, so I don't know. The thing is, like, they're trying to play their young guys, so I could see that continuing. But I wonder, like, when does Aaron Judge, when does Giancarlo Stanton start to get shut down this week?
Yep, with you there. And that's something to think about when you're setting your lineups next week. Oakland, you got 3 at Minnesota, 3 at the Angels. Blackburn set up to 2-step. Not a bad 2-step, honestly. But his production's up in the air. But he could be, like, similar to the Hauser treatment. Blackburn's not bad.
Yep. Even though both games are on the road, that at that at Angels, unless you're Aaron Civale this week, of course, is a good one. But yeah, Blackburn, yeah, he's going to make those two starts. So that's a semi-decent two-step with,
yeah,
I don't want to say minimal ratio blow-up potential, but it is Paul Blackburn after all. But I think that could be effective.
And the one thing I'll say about Paul Blackburn, which is nice, even when he kind of blows up, he does go and get you strikeouts. That's one thing he does. So it depends on what you're looking for on your squad. Philadelphia, they got three versus Pitt, three at the Mets. We pretty much think they're going to clinch things. So tough to pick up any guys here.
Yep, agreed.
Pittsburgh, three at Philly, three at home versus Miami. The fight in Palacios gets four righties out of six, if you're curious. But other than that, I don't have a ton of interest here. Mitch Keller, if he's available, is great, but I don't think he's available.
Yeah, I don't think he's available. But Palacios, one of those two brothers. The Pittsburgh one is
Joshua.
Yeah. Yes, homer tonight, Joshua, off of Julian Merriweather.
Homered in back-to-back games. He has a pinch hit homer tonight, by the way. So, yes. San Diego, three at the Giants, three at the White Sox. That's a pretty juicy matchup if you can get Campusano to catch or some other options out there.
Agreed. Agreed. Not much to add there.
Seattle, we've already talked about them earlier, so we can pass on that. Giants, you got three versus San Diego, three versus the Dodgers. It's Platoon City. I'm pretty much just avoiding this.
What, Giants fandom? What? So you sound pretty pessimistic. 2.5 games back of the last wild card. You don't think so?
No. They lost already tonight against the Dodgers. I don't see them winning a game this weekend. Maybe one if they're lucky. I guess it happens every year. They play just good enough to keep your hopes up, but the team's so bad, like, they're eventually going to hit a wall, and they finally are hitting that wall. I don't see it happening. No.
Two lefties, four righties. Those lefties are Snell and Kershaw.
Yep. Good night. Kershaw might not even pitch, honestly. That could be a whole. That's true. That could be a Sheehan, Stone, something like that game. Wouldn't surprise me. St. Louis, three at Milwaukee, three at home versus Cincinnati. Burns in that one. Not bad overall, but it's St. Louis unless you're getting one of the Palaciosies, but it's four righties again, so it's tough.
Yeah, unless you got the Palacii. Zach Thompson's interesting. He's the two-step for St. Louis.
Milwaukee versus Cincinnati. That's not bad, I guess.
Like, the matchups aren't bad. Thompson, I don't think he is. I really liked him at the beginning of his transition to the rotation, but I think recently it's kind of gone pretty south. I'll pull up the numbers in just a sec, but it hasn't been as great lately.
He got beat up by Milwaukee. I believe it was Milwaukee like yesterday or Tuesday, something like that.
I always look up the wrong Zach. There's a Zach K and a Zach H Thompson. Let's see his last few games. Thompson, ooh, ouch. Four earned.
There's a clip for you. Oh yeah, ooh, ouch.
Yeah, not great. Not great. So maybe
not great, Bob.
Maybe that two start is just double the death.
Yep. I think we're stuck with like Hauser and Blackburn as our main, maybe King if he's available still. That's kind of our two steps of the week. It's crazy. Tampa Bay, we already discussed them. Five games makes them tricky. Texas, three at the Angels, which is always great, but then three at Seattle with Gilbert, Wu, Castillo, and Kirby on the docket. Anything with Texas here? They got John Gray and Martin Perez scheduled to two-step. They're fighting for the postseason.
Yep. So those guys should both make their two steps. That's a brutal, man, Seattle, that rotation. It's a brutal last.
You're
going to
make that
game
drive after this show. It's going to happen.
Dude, if I didn't have kids.
How far is it?
To Seattle from my house is anywhere between 3 hours and 6 hours, depending on when I go. Yeah, but yeah, just up by five. It's like two turns.
Yeah. Woo versus Eovaldi's a doozy on Friday. Toronto, three versus the Yanks, three versus Tampa Bay. Gossman's just, we've already discussed this, so I think we're good here. There's not, like, besides Gavin Biggio, who actually gets to face six righties next week. I'm not even kidding. I'd look to pick him up. I think he's a solid asset.
Yeah, I agree. And Toronto, we talked about the front to kind of bring it full back. Like, that Guerrero news is going to have some impact. So look at Kevin Biggio or potentially Spencer Horowitz.
Horowitz is, yeah, a good one as well. And then the Nationals, they have five games. I think we're good.
Womp, yeah. Womp.
Yep, exactly. All right, a couple more things on the schedule here. We talked about the injured guys, but do you have anything else before we get to questions? Because Kerwin's question can go with listener questions.
No, I think that's pretty much it. Schedule, standing most importantly, then schedule, and just kind of do that thought process that we were just doing and for your own lives.
Just realize that come the weekend, a lot of things are in flux. A lot.
Things will change by Sunday night, Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. So just be very, very aware that it's going to get interesting real, real quick. Let's get over these listener questions here. And we'll start with one Mike Curlin. Not sure if you've heard of this guy before, but he was once the king. Now he's the court jester. Here's a fun one. He says, would you prefer to risk a starting pitcher with chance of shutdown or limited in final start next week? Say Bayo, Lizardo, many we talked about already, like Nola and others that might not even pitch on Sunday, or pivot to a relief pitcher with 7 games who pitches high leverage to try and luck into a win, a relief pitcher like Jordan Hicks. This is where my brain is at. I don't ever want to know where Kerwin's brain is at, to be honest with you.
We don't want
to
go there.
I always take a picture of the questions and I realize Kerwin tweets like he talks. So I have to open up the tweet now because it's a longer blue checkmark tweet. Oh, this is where my brain, curious your thoughts. I'm down for that. I've preached that many times. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it depends. I mean, obviously it depends, but like, I think I still lean more, unless you're positive that the shutdown positive, but like, if I don't know, I think I'd lean the starter still. I just think there's a better chance of a win, even with the Vulture 7-game thing. And there's only a couple teams with,
let's say it's only Seattle, Texas, the Dodgers, and the Rockies.
Yeah. So it's like, you're going to pick up like Will Smith of Texas.
Brusdar Gratterall.
Yeah, maybe Gratterall. Like, he's, you're not going to pick up any Rockies relievers. Like, don't do that. So, like, I think
Texas has options, though. Like, Leclerc got a save the other day.
God.
I know. Like, trust me. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
But I just think there's, as someone who benched Aaron Nola this week at Atlanta and picked up Julian Merriweather for the ratios, it didn't work out. So, like, I don't know. I'd still go the starter unless you're very confident Sunday night that that start isn't either not going to happen or going to be shortened. If you think it's going to be a full start, go with the starter. And when in doubt, I'd lean the starter as well.
How about this name from Seattle? Has not allowed an earned run since before August 29th. That is 11 outings. He has 14 Ks and 10 2/3 innings. He only has 6 holds. There's no wins. There's no saves. But Matt Brash has been ridiculous.
Matt Brash, yeah.
So a couple guys I just want to throw out there. And let me, I'm quite actually intrigued here. I want to pull up the Dodgers situation here because you are going to get a lot of, because most of their pitchers now are younger arms that aren't going deep into games. So you don't have to get the highest of leverage guys. You can look into the 6th and 7th inning guys if you're going to throw out. Like Ryan said, don't do it. And I'm not against it. I'm just saying if you're looking, or if you're in a daily league and you can stream guys over the weekend, next weekend, these would be guys to look at here. Gratterall's been the 8th inning guy for the most part. Caleb Ferguson's getting some love. Alex Vesia picked up a win 2 starts ago. And weirdly enough, I will say this, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but Shelby Miller has been getting a lot of that 6th and 7th inning role, and that's where you pick up the dubs. And last but not least, if Ryan Yarbrough is available, people, I can only say it so many times. Like, that's the dude you want.
Got the win on Sunday.
And then, yeah, I'm just going to stop there because I'll start throwing things at the wall here in a minute. But the Giants opener situations have actually been kind of decent with Manaea. He's been decent in that role, which pains me to say.
Manaea and Stripling. I don't know who you like more, Bubba.
It's just they're not good regular pitchers if you want to win a World Series. Andy Splintner has a question for us. For those in head-to-head ships, who are a couple guys who will go yard this weekend and grab a couple steals? So we're talking about this weekend right now that we just played our game for. So let me reformat my custom grid here because I had for next week set up.
I would lean Kyle Farmer.
That's a good one.
I think Kyle Farmer, we talked about the Royce Lewis news at the top. Like, no matter what, I'd maybe plays 1 game this weekend, best case. So I'd go Kyle Farmer. I would obviously take both of our streamers if available. Nelson Velazquez, and who the hell did you take?
Campisano.
Campisano, that's right. It's been a long season, people.
Yeah. I like the farmer call. I like the farmer call quite a bit. I think that's got some legs to it. I think that's a good way to go. Velasquez could hit a couple dongs pretty easily. Don't want to be surprised by that. So
stolen bases.
I keep saying it, and people are going to hate me. Rafaello steals bases. Sedan Rafaello. They're facing the White Sox. Toussaint, Cease, and Clevinger. Clevinger's been decent, but if you want some steals, that's a dude that off the top of my head that's available. We'll say that much.
Another option for steals perhaps is Manny Margot. Tampa gets two out of three lefties this weekend. Predicting stolen bases over a three-game period is crazy, but you get Ryu and Kikuchi, and I think Margot will at least make two starts. He's been hitting pretty well since he came back from the IL.
On the farmer front, because I don't know what format, it's a head-to-head, so I don't know what format Andy's playing in. Yeah. Just for your own sanity, he's 81% rostered in 12s and OCs. But in your league, he might be available. Go check out Willy Castro because he's a power speed machine. He's got great matchups versus the Angels. And I know I do Yahoo articles, and he's like 50% in Yahoo. So just go for your own sanity. Check that out because if he's there, that's a guy you're going to want.
Chris Taylor. What's his?
He God, was really good for a while. He's kind of cool. He's cooled down again.
He's 50. No, that's not Chris Taylor. I don't know how rostered he is, but perhaps.
Another twin. I just love the twin matchups versus the Angels. Michael A. Taylor's back, and he loves lefties.
Yeah, that's probably his better lefties. Taylor.
He's got two lefties. So Michael,
and that's someone they're going to play. Because like
they're going to play him versus lefties and righties.
Roll him out there. Yeah, exactly.
So like Michael call. A. Taylor would be one to look at as well.
And good luck, Andy, man. Head-to-head, I can't imagine the sweat. I have my own feelings about head-to-head playoffs, but but that's, yeah, best of luck, man.
Coinhead says, Dylan Cease at Boston.
I mean, yeah, you got to do it. I mean, if that's the entire question, I don't know. I mean, it depends what your alternatives are, but like, you got to do it.
Yeah, I'll let Ryan answer that question.
You wouldn't say
there's a lot of dependings, like you said. Like, if there's no other options and you need something like strikeouts, yeah, go for it. The Red Sox bats aren't bad, and Cease is horrible.
You know what his ERA is last five starts?
It's got to be like 7 or 8.
7 on the dot. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Trust me, I stack against him in DFS every time. So you start him, Coinhead. I'll make a Red Sox stack, and we'll see who talks next week.
Dylan Cease will get his 200th strikeout in that game, though.
That's what's crazy. He's getting you the Ks, but, man, is he not getting you anything else. It's the Lance Lynn of the American League.
Oh, God. Too soon, man.
Yeah, hey, we're together on that one. Last question we have here is from our buddy. I saved it for last. Benjamin Tidd, collegiate scholar Ben Tidd, at @BreakingBen_T. It's more of a theoretical question. So what's it look like? Is there a theoretical engineering class that you guys take or something? Or I know there's theoretical physics. I'm aware of that. Yes, I'm aware that's a course. But
you wouldn't understand. I won't.
Yeah, I only learned that from the Big Bang Theory. So do you guys have any teams where you plan on getting a little crazy with your lineups next week, like taking no closers, going all closers, no speed, all speed, etc.? This is a great, great question to wrap up. It's why I want to save it for last, because it's kind of what like Ryan and I have been trying to kind of talk about in a roundabout way of when you're setting your lineups with the schedules and things you're looking at. And, you know, you might be high in steals, like Ben's saying, so you don't need to worry about speed next week. You're going to go all power, go for broken power. Or, you know, pitching three saves can get you like 2 points maybe. So I'm not going to throw starting pitchers. I'm going to throw as many closers as I can. Stuff like that. Are you doing anything like that, Ryan, in like your labor or other formats where you're going for the gusto?
I'm personally not. I need to check Werf and see what the standings deals are there. But just because I need I'm tight in everything. Like I'm tight. And so really the only ones you can really try and like strategize for are steals, wins and Ks, and saves. Yeah. Like you could say I need batting average and runs, but it's hard to like do pickups for just runs guys or batting average guys. Even batting average is such a variant thing. So just in my leagues, I'm not, but because I don't need to, but I fully sign off on doing whatever it is you need to do to maximize your categories. So have you gone through that? I mean, I'll go through that exercise Sunday night, but what about you?
I've honestly been doing that for the last month and a half or so, at least for like fab reasons, like targeting stats. So in a roundabout way, I am. Am I starting certain guys? Not so much yet. Saves, I might in a couple leagues just because a couple saves can get me a point. Most of the stats I'm trying to chase are offensive, and it's more like power. And because I have steals everywhere. So I guess if I'm going to do anything, I could sit steals and go for broke on the power department. But the way I built my teams, most of the guys are power speed guys. Like, so it's kind of a wash type scenario. But if I were to do anything like that, it would be going for power and just going for broke. Like, go pick up Jason Hayward and David Peralta and hope they run into something in Coors. Like, stuff like that. Just go and pick up Michael A. Taylor and hope Minnesota has some fun in Colorado to finish the weekend. That's why last week I picked up, like, all the Matt Wallner I could find, Willie Castro, like all these Twins guys, just hoping. And Castro had two home runs in his two games in Minnesota, Cincinnati, which is great. But that's what I'll be looking for, is how can I go and find a few more home runs, which will obviously lead to runs on RBIs in the same scenario.
Yep. Well put. Well put.
It's tough because, like, I've tried the saves thing, but it's so tilting. We've all done it where you might have, like, you might be bulking up on closers, but you only start like three of the four you have, and the guy on the bench gets three saves and the rest of the guys get none. It's the most tilting thing on the face of the planet.
I just mentioned Julian freaking Merriweather, and I got burned big time.
It's like Carlos Estevez. Every time I play him, he gets blown up. If I put him on the bench, he gets three saves. Like, I should have just cut him just not to deal with him. But I just, like, keep him on my bench so, like, no one can have saves, basically. Like, I won't get him, but neither can you. Like, just leave him on the bench. It's one of those philosophies. That's he's one of the full tilt men on this thing. But let's wrap it up, Bloomfield. We have made it to the finish line of the baseball season. It's 1 week to go. We grind, we sweat, we cry, we celebrate sometime next week. And I've mentioned cry before celebrate because that's the reality of the situation.
There may be some tears, Ted. It's not tears, but it is crazy how much, like, and we put effort and thought into the content side, but, like, just the amount of time we all, I'm not just us, everyone, you put into your teams, and it comes down to, like, a hit, a homer, a steal. It's, I don't know, it's something I need to work on, like, not gluing myself to the TV or the phone, because if you think back, like, it's totally out of your control. Once you have your lineup set, like, you looking at your scores more or less doesn't do anything. But try to enjoy it.
I think this is where playing so much DFS for years has kind of helped me. It's like, you get to the point where I've been competitive in tournaments, and then you realize, like, in the ninth inning, a guy hits a pinch hit, or doesn't pinch it, not pinch it, but guy hits a home run that just jumped you, and you had no control over it. Yep. And you're just sitting there going, well, okay, well, we try again tomorrow. Obviously, this is a little different season long. I'm aware of that, but we've heard all the horror stories about certain guys, you know, the last day, like you said, last at bats, this, mm-hmm. that, and the other, or the closer comes in and he gives up two singles, but gets the save with those two singles, messed up your whip for a point, like just stupid little things like that. Yep. That 6 months of grinding came down to that. And I guess the beauty of Sundays, though, they play all the games at the same time. So yeah, it's just a free for all. So
just over, and it's over with game, after 3 hours.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I believe the plan for now is we'll be off next Thursday, but we'll be back with you guys next Sunday evening at the conclusion of things, maybe a little after the conclusion. We have kids to put to bed, but we'll be with you guys Sunday night, unofficially sponsored by High Noons, to celebrate and talk about, hopefully, I say celebrate because I'm trying to be optimistic here, the 2023 fantasy baseball season. And it'll be the official click over after we discuss the goods, the bads, the uglies of our seasons, getting us ready for 2024. It's just, it'll be here before you know it. So
absolutely.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. So yeah. Again, I think I asked for final thoughts, but any other final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Just best of luck, everyone. Hang in there. Yep. And I think that last show will be, it'll be fun. We'll have some beverages and we'll just enjoy the end of the year, man.
I have a hunch we might have a couple people just happen to drop in on the YouTube feed that might.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
A hunch. Sunday night, because we're all going to be letting steam off that night. It's going to be happening. Yep. So
we'll get more details at the time. Maybe we'll try and do it a little early. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see how it works.
Kids.
Yep, it's always kids. But until then, you can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm on Twitter at BDIntrick, and good luck, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. This was Bubba in the Blue, episode 75. Catch y'all next time.
Better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.